the DGDG.com studios on the corner of Broadway and Battery. This is the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game. Now, Damon Bruce.
We're just happy to have Steve Kerr on to talk about everything that's been going on here. He's brought to you by The Bay Club. You can visit TheBayClub.com. Steve, thank you very much for joining us. Let's start with this. Not all weeks are created equal in the NBA, are they?
No, you never know what's going to happen in this league. And long seasons, 82 games. Our seasons have stretched to 9 months, the last 4 years. So much can happen on so many different levels, and you just got to ride it out and move forward.
I think the best thing to come of all of this, honestly, was your quote about how Steph Curry is the short Tim Duncan. Tell us exactly what you meant by that.
Well, having played with Tim, there's something incredibly special about a player who can be so dominant as a player on the court and so humble off the floor, and the tone that sets is remarkable, and it just sort of solves a lot of issues. And there aren't many guys like that, to be honest. Steph reminds me so much of Tim in that regard. We had plenty of drama in San Antonio. You didn't hear about it very often because Tim would usually sort of resolve things behind the scenes just with the force of his personality. I feel like Steph's the same way, so it's a huge advantage to have somebody like that leading your team, and Steph's going to help us get through what we're going through right now.
Steve, there's no doubt at all it's a huge advantage to the Warriors that you're the guy leading this team for many reasons, even especially through this moment. And look, there are a lot of questions that I want to ask you, and these are a lot of questions that you've already passed on, and I'm not going to run over old ground. Like, you've drawn very public boundaries around what you do and don't want to talk about. I think I've heard every word you've spoken this week, and I'll respect the groundwork that you've laid down here. I never want our weekly chats to become press conferences. Like, I want us to be able to just comfortably talk with each other. So let me ask you this. There are a lot of worried Warriors fans, and they watched that game in Houston, and that didn't exactly help the feeling. What do you want fans who are worried to know?
Well, I want them to know that what you're seeing right now is not what you're going to see, for most of the season. But it's inevitable that teams have to go through, different adversity. And right now, this is sort of the confluence of injuries and some emotional stuff that happened on the floor. And it's all hitting at once, along with the schedule getting tougher, So we're in this situation. We're not going to be in it forever, but for right now, it's not going to be easy, and we've got to dig our way out of it. But this team has all the components to do so. The character, the talent, the togetherness, the history. So long term, I have no doubt we're going to be fine. But I'm also not under the illusion that this is just going to be resolved in a day, and we're going to go back to winning every game easily. It doesn't happen that way. It's going to take some work.
As a coach, Steve, is there a lesson, a mentor, a fable that maybe you turn to guide you through this moment? Like you talked about being wounded spiritually. Like, do we need a priest or a rabbi?
No, I think I just rely on the experience that I've gained, both as a player and as a coach and an executive. The stuff you don't see if you're a fan is very often anyway, is the reaction and the emotion of players with each other and the interaction with each other. You see the games, you see the joy, sometimes you see the anguish, but rarely do you see what was seen the other night. And so I'm sure that has rattled a lot of our fans. But I think it's important for fans to know that this kind of stuff happens all the time. On every team I've ever been on, there's all kinds of pressure, and there's competition, and you're like a family. You're together constantly. So behind the scenes, there's all kinds of stuff, and then it's up to the team and the coaching staff to sort of solve things and resolve things. And that's why it's so important to have a foundation, have a team culture, have certain values that are important to you and your staff and your team. And when you have those things in place, then it's much easier to heal from any adverse moments.
Steve, I think my biggest worry is that we haven't seen a drop of either of these guys saying in a reassuring way to the media, even if it's lying to just defuse the bomb. You know, when you're working on a bomb, if you clip this wire, it ticks faster. If you clip this wire, it stops blowing up. Like, I just haven't heard any of like a, hey, that's my guy, we're brothers, like, we're going to get past, don't you worry about anything. It seems like they're still like standing off a little bit in the media. Is that helping or hurting the situation? Is it exacerbating the situation?
Well, again, I just don't think it's that simple. I think everybody wants a flip of a switch and, hey, everything's fine again. But you're talking about human beings and intricate relationships. And so things have to happen over time. And as I said, I'm very confident because of the character of the people in our locker room, the history that we have together. I'm very, very confident that this will resolve and it will unfold. But again, it's not going to happen with one statement or, you know, one day or a couple of days. It has to have sort of a lifespan, and it has to be resolved with some work.
Warriors head coach Steve Kerr here on 95.7 The Game. I've heard every answer you've given. I've heard, I think, every question you've been asked. No one's asked you this yet, Steve. I want to be the first. How are you doing, man?
I'm all right. Are you kidding me? I mean, I've been so blessed to coach this team the last 4.5 years. This is the real NBA, by the way. What I've been dealing with the last 4 years is not the real NBA, you know, where you have almost nothing but success and amazing players and talent and just incredible atmosphere and vibe. And what we've been doing the last 4 years and the group that we've had has been an absolute dream. And this is more reality, where, you know, you just run into stuff that happens. And as I mentioned, every team I ever played on, even the ones that won championships, and in some cases, especially the ones that won championships, you know, we had all kinds of adversity and things we had to deal with. And in the end, that's my job as head coach, and that's our staff's job. You know, as a group, we have to take care of this stuff behind the scenes. And it's interesting because we have to do it in a fishbowl because there's so many people interested. So we have to sort of, do it in a subtle manner. We have to do it behind the scenes. We also have to, you know, talk a little bit about it publicly, but we can't share everything. And it requires some deft gymnastics, if that's a phrase that can be used.
It looked like you and Bob both went through a ton of mental gymnastics to get through the game suspension press conference. And I don't think I've ever seen you wear a piece of news so heavily. You could tell that was a tough one for you guys.
A very tough one. We love Draymond. You know, he is he's somebody not only who has helped us win championships, but somebody that who Bob and I have grown very close with and gotten to know at a very deep level, and we love him. So when something like this happens, it's like something happens in your own family, and you hate to see it. You don't want it to happen, but something happens, and then you have to deal with it within your family. But again, the difference is there's no privacy in this world that we live in, that the Warriors live in, or any other professional sports team. There's no privacy, so everything that you do is basically out there for people to read about, to hear about, to learn about, and that makes it much more tricky to sort of resolve in the end.
How much more would we know about Jordan and Pippen if they had played in a social media era?
Oh, Oh, you have no idea.
Well, no, this is an opportunity to let me know the idea, though.
Yeah.
Tell me.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Oh, you're far enough removed. What's the statute of limitations on those stories? Come on.
No, it's a good try. No, I will just say life was a lot easier as a professional athlete 20 years ago than it is now. I mean, we were judged, but it was, you know, the morning paper. You know, this was kind of pre-internet, right? So it was literally the morning paper, and if you wanted to avoid that, you could. And, you know, you had talk radio, I guess. You could, you know, there was still that. But you didn't have the constant judgment and criticism at your fingertips, and you didn't have the sort of social behavior that we've all grown accustomed to and developed, myself included, where we're always holding a phone, you know, and we're always in contact with people, and we're always knowing everything that's happening out there in the world. Such a different life that we live now, and I think for a professional athlete, it's dramatically tougher.
Do you think Phil Jackson would have been able to write a book called Zen in the current landscape we live in?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's never been more important to have those qualities in your life, and so I think those books are actually pretty powerful now. You know, if you can find a quiet space in your day these days, you know, do a yoga class, take a hike, you know, get in touch with nature, with you know, without any technology around you. Boy, that's never been more important.
And so, really, your job this weekend is to get the Warriors breathing out their third eye again, right?
Something like that. Something like that. And but it's not, you know, it's not just this weekend. It's really, it's going to unfold over these next weeks. And it's, you know, I think the important thing to remember too is it's happening at a time when we're really beaten up. You know, it's not just Steph's injury, but guys are beaten up. We're going to have several people questionable for tomorrow. You know, Draymond's been dealing with a nagging toe injury. Sean and Andre, you know, Sean was out. I think he missed 7 games. You know, Andre missed a couple games. And so, you know, dealing with this kind of stuff while you're injured, it's harder to get back to the continuity, you know, on the floor that you need. And so it's all part of it. You know, every team goes through this. It just happens that over the last few years, we have not gone through much of it. So we're prepared for it, and we'll deal with it.
How much do you miss having a headache named Fergie?
wait, say that again.
How much do you miss having a headache that was just named Fergie?
I don't even know what that means.
Well, I mean, think about it. The biggest controversy was a Fergie anthem remix, and now this?
Oh, yeah, that's right. See, I forgot about that. That was, I didn't even remember that, but yeah, that was, what was that, about 2-3 weeks ago?
Or 4-5 years ago. I can't really remember,
well,
Steve.
Here's the irony. Literally, you know, this stuff we're dealing with, you know, started in L.A. 3 days ago. You know, every story up until 4 days ago was about how the Warriors are having a tremendous amount of joy, and they've moved on from the angst of last season, and, you know, we're in a great place. And so this is how quickly things can turn and the narrative can turn. So that's the life of a professional sports team. So things changed quickly.
And what's totally crazy is look at everything that we've dealt with, and we haven't even eaten Thanksgiving dinner yet.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, by the time the playoffs start, you know, the Masters will have been played and the Super Bowl will be finished. And I don't know. Name any other analogy you want, but it's this season is so long that you just you can't get too up or too down. And obviously, you know, I'm well aware that our fans are concerned, and we don't look like ourselves right now and all that. But you know, we're going to be fine. We're going to get there.
Thursday night in Houston was a bad night of Warriors basketball. Anything to learn or burn the tape and move on?
Oh no, you always learn from every game. And I think last night was a combination of, you know, we played a very good team that's rounding into form that, you know, took us to 7 games last year. along with the ball not going in and some bad energy. Just throw all those things together, and it's not going to look great. So we've got to improve our energy. We got to get better with our offensive execution. And we've got to move forward to the next game. And, you learn from the last one, you try to get better for the next one.
Next game's in Dallas. You're going to get a first look at Luka, 19-year-old kid who's already a world-class player. What's jumped out about him to you?
Just how confident he is. He's a real playmaker at that small forward spot. I love guys like that who can put the ball on the floor and shoot the three and create offense for others. But it usually takes time in a guy's young career to feel comfortable and confident doing that. He looks like he's got plenty of confidence, and it's been interesting to see him grow this early in the year.
When you get to San Antonio on Sunday, does Greg Popovich, is he more likely to greet you with like a sympathetic hug, or halfway laughing at you saying, well, you wanted to coach, you schmuck, here you go?
Yeah, a little of both. And that's what I love about Pop. There's always a little perspective, there's always some humor, but always a little advice too. And he's the best. He's one of my best friends, and obviously he's dealing with his team and I'm dealing with mine, but in the end we always share, compare notes and share thoughts, and because this is something that it's we're in very unique positions and jobs, and they're not easy. So everyone in the coaching business sort of wants each other to do well, because we all know how hard it can be.
Steve, when Michael Jordan was in the locker room calling out teammates or doing whatever Michael did to inspire everyone or scare the hell out of everyone, was that ever described as a calming presence, or did just the raging nuclear energy of him and knowing that he was playing for you that night have sort of a calming presence on the team?
Well, generally speaking, that stuff with Michael was done in practice. It was more, of a motivational ploy, putting pressure on guys in practice, really competing. I've never seen anybody compete like Michael in practice. And so he would set a bar in practice that he expected everybody to meet during games, and that was his genius. Those stories, those legendary stories of how hard he was on teammates, that was in practice. That was in between the lines. Once it was game time, it was all business, and you had to jump aboard and do your job. I don't know that anybody will ever match what Michael did in terms of sort of controlling games and controlling teams with, not only his talent, but just his intensity and his poise, and all at once. It was incredible to watch.
I tell you, you sound more rested and relaxed today than I've heard all week from you. I hope things are officially getting better. There is something that you and I absolutely have in common, because 2 days ago when I saw it for the first time, I walked in and I talked about it with everyone at work, and I saw you tweeting about it. You mentioned filibustering, too. I would like you to filibuster for 30 seconds. Steve, what do you like most about that Elton John piano commercial?
I've watched it like 10 times. I mean, I think what I like the most about it is that it's so hard these days just to read the news, because everything is just so chaotic, whether it's Mother Nature, all of our neighbors from up north just dealing with this awful, awful fire, or the political climate. It just seems like the world is so chaotic, and that commercial was so beautifully done. And a reminder, just, the music, how beautiful the music is, and how connected we all are. Wasn't that one of the most incredible commercials you've ever seen?
It was a love letter to being an artist. It was like a little biography. It was a timeline of Elton John's entire life. It was as good of a movie as I've seen. It was a 90-second long commercial.
Yeah, it was unreal. And All true, by the way. He was raised by his mom and his grandmother, and they bought him the piano at a young age. What an incredible story.
You an Elton John guy? You seen him in concert?
Love Elton John. Love Elton John.
Yeah, I saw him.
With KD, by the way. I was talking to KD today, and he loves Elton John, and he hadn't seen the commercial yet, so I sent it to him, and it's hard not to love Elton John. I mean, he's just got so many classic hits.
It is. I would keep KD away from the bitches back this week, though. I wouldn't play that one for him at all.
Yeah, that's a good one there.
Not the Elton John song. Hey, I thank you so much, Steve. It's we've been doing this for a couple of years, and I don't think we've ever even had like a real like other than that series in Houston last year. But this is like the first oh my gosh moment of the dynasty, at least that we know about. So let me congratulate you on keeping us all like totally unaware of things for 4 years. It's been amazing the job that you and yours have done. Let's end with this just to reassure everyone. Steve, will the parade be lit?
Oh, God. You're really going to ask me that?
Yes. Will the parade be lit, Steve Kerr?
Who said it was lit last year?
Jordan Bell.
All right. Well, why don't you ask Jordan next time you see him?
Fair enough. Steve, thank you so much. Good luck this weekend.
See ya.
Who is a better sport than that guy? You're not going to find one. Really appreciate him having a long, long interview on a week where I'm sure he didn't want to talk that much more to anybody about everything that happened. And I think that we got more out of Steve Kerr in the last 20 minutes of that interview than he's been willing to share about what's really been going on behind the scenes without specifically talking any details. I think he gave us an awful lot right there. Number one, chief among the things that Steve Kerr pointed out was there is no quick fix to this. They aren't going to just snap their fingers and turn around and it'll all be gone away and kumbaya, kumbaya. Nobody needs to worry about anything. He says these are people involved, and emotions and feelings got hurt, and this is going to take time. He also went on to say that, you know, everything that you've been seeing from us for the last 4 years, that's the illusion. This is the real NBA. A little acrimony, a little dissension, ego battle. Like, this is the NBA, and the Warriors have done a great job avoiding the norms of an NBA locker room through all the success that they've enjoyed and all the talent that they possess. It's amazing that they have come this far in the journey and only tripping over something like this really once in a public fashion. You could say, well, what about the thing in Oklahoma City? Well, that didn't become this, that's for sure. Number three, there are better days ahead. And he's right about that. There are many days ahead. There are so many more games. There are so many more months of basketball. And just the levels that we're going to see the season go through. It's the now get out of this slump. Then it's going to be reintegrating Curry. Then it's going to be making sure that Draymond and Kevin Durant are totally on the same page every single game and everything's kumbaya. Then it's going to be, oh, hey, DeMarcus Cousins, are you ready to be worked into the mix? Are you ready to be healthy and run again? Fantastic. Then it's going to be perfect that and put on the show of that. And that's where I think this team really comes together to bond once again. They might never be best of buddies, closest of friends. That innocence, I'll tell you, that innocence might be gone. So it's going to be about professionalism and putting on a show and reminding everyone, you might not like us, but we do put on the best show on the planet, on planet basketball anyways. And what do you think of that? So hopefully that's the life cycle of the rest of this season for the Golden State Warriors. Meanwhile, we do have the NFL going on at this time. That's what I heard. It's like a rumor these days, especially here in the Bay Area, where neither of these teams can rub two wins together. Well, I guess they could totally grand total rub like three wins together. It's not good. It's officially not good. So where should we put our football attention this weekend? Well, we got the right guy who, unfortunately, I know is bummed out that the big game has been postponed. Mike Silver, NFL Network, proud Cal Golden Bear. He joins us next here on 95.7 The Game to talk about the weekend that will be coming up in the NFL.
You're listening to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
Rare is the week where we hardly talk about the NFL at all. Even this season, which has gone so horribly bad on both sides of the bay, the story about the Warriors, KD, Draymond, Steve Kerr, Bob Myers' reaction to it has dominated our airwaves. So let's just for a minute back off and talk a little football. And I'm sure we're actually going to get into the whole Warriors thing, too, because my next guest is a huge Warriors fan. After all, Steve Kerr is a real pal of his. Mike Silver from NFL Network. He's a 95.7 The Game contributor. We're thrilled to have him back on here. And I know that he's bummed out that the big game got canceled over in Berkeley. But for all the right reasons, Michael, I was on the Embarcadero today. Couldn't even see Treasure Island. It is something else out there. How you doing, man?
I'm okay. Yeah, I mean, I'm bummed out, but obviously it's a no-brainer. I applaud Cal for doing the right thing. And, yeah, there's no way that people can play in this, let alone stand and watch. So we're going to all cool out, hopefully, get our air back and see what happens on December 1st.
And guess who just got like a 4 or 5 hour window wide open now on a Saturday afternoon. So congratulations to you and the entire Silver family. You have some free time now, Michael.
Well, it's free, but we're headed for the hills, so hopefully everybody stays safe and, does the right thing.
Indeed, indeed. So the 49ers obviously got the bye week, but the news of this week is that Nick Mullins pretty much has gotten the nod here from Kyle Shanahan, at least until Kyle Shanahan says otherwise. Nick Mullins is the 49ers starting quarterback. Is that the right decision?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, Kyle. First of all, I think Kyle knows better than Kyle knows who should be starting. And secondly, I think Nick Mullins showed more in that first game, at least, than CJ probably ever showed. And, that's not a slight to CJ either. I just, neither one was expected to come in and set the world ablaze based on draft position or, in Nick's case, non-draft position. But, I feel like he, obviously, there were bad moments in his second start, but I to my untrained eye, I saw enough to still be intrigued.
Mike McCarthy last night, he's been criticized this morning for coaching scared as the team decided to punt in a late-game situation where every single rule and metric and person who looks at the NFL says, being aggressive is the right thing to do, especially with so little time remaining on the clock, especially when Aaron Rodgers is your quarterback. If I'm Aaron Rodgers, I might be ready for a new head coach. I know you're close with him. What did you think of last night's loss for the Green Bay Packers and a very important win for the Seahawks if they're going to be part of this conversation?
Well, I wrote all about it. It's on NFL.com. I have some quotes in there from Tremont Williams, who is a veteran corner who left there and came back. He said a lot of these things, that Packer fans think, which is we need to be, we need to play to win. We've got Aaron Rodgers. We let teams hang around. We need to be more aggressive. We should have gone for it on that specific play and, let it all out. And, I've said for years and years that I don't think they're maximizing the window, that organizationally there's a lack of aggressiveness that filters down to the field, and now they have a new GM and Brian Gutekunst, so hopefully they will be a little more aggressive or a lot more aggressive in terms of player acquisition. As far as Mike McCarthy's got some really good things, but this Packer team again last night, another instance where they get the early touchdown. They're up 14-3 after the insane Rodgers pass to the fourth string tight end on a line while leaving his feet and moving 57 yards.
It might be the throw of the year. It really might be.
I mean, it was insane. And by the way, he had another one in that game to Devontae Adams that was on the list too. But, they don't just annihilate teams. You see the Sean Payton coach teams, the Sean McVay coach teams, for example, they'll boat race you. They'll be up 28 points before you know what hit them. Andy Reid's doing it in Kansas City, and it just does not seem to be the Packers' personality. And I know it's frustrating. You know, Mike said a lot of good things. You know, you can make a case that, you know, it's not him. On the other hand, sometimes change is just good and inevitable. I don't know that it matters what I think. I think they're at a point organizationally where unless they have a, you know, really stirring postseason performance, if they even get in, I do think a change will be made. And certainly a lot of coaches will be very, very eager to try to coach an Aaron Rodgers quarterback team.
Mike Silver, NFL Network here on 95.7 The Game. So, Mike, with all your connections, were you able to get anything from Le'Veon Bell's locker? There was a lot of looting going on this week.
I did not get any keepsakes from Le'Veon Bell's locker, but, you know, I've gotten a lot of good things in my day, just, you know, gratuitously here and there. I have a signed Otto Graham helmet in my home studio set. His grandson was very nice enough to send that to me when I said nice things about his late grandfather. So
nice.
I really can't complain. I also have a bobblehead of the play preemptively, which they're giving out at Memorial Stadium now on December 1st.
There you go. Always working on behalf of Cal, letting everyone know when that postponed game will be kicking off. What did you think of that, though? I mean, there was, I think, a little lesson to be learned there that you know, if you're not with us, you ain't just part of this anymore. I mean, the Le'Veon Bell era.
The looting?
Yeah. I mean, like, dude, this guy was a great player on a good team, and it's just over, and it's just bam.
To me, that's far less significant than the fact that three of his offensive linemen, on the record, made comments critical of his holdout, basically, right? It's not a holdout, but him. Three guys went on the record on his own team saying he shouldn't be doing this. I mean, NFL players don't even criticize players on other teams when it comes to business. That's kind of like all of us against all of them, management. So for three guys on his own team to rip him for deciding not to come in because of a financial dispute, I thought that was, you know, I don't know the specifics. I've not covered them in a while, but to me, that was a clear indication that he is not loved in that locker room, because I just can't imagine any other players saying that about one of their own.
Bears and Vikings got a big one Sunday night. It's a big division game. What do you think of the job that Matt Nagy's done with Trubisky, who year one, not impressed. Year two, all right. I think I see a Bears finally have a quarterback.
Well, I mean, compared to the other two quarterbacks taken in the first round that year, I would say he's way behind. I mean, Mahomes is...
Well, yes. Yeah, great. Of course.
Deshaun Watson looks pretty darn good. You know, I'm not sold on Trubisky yet. When it comes to coaching jobs in the Bears, I would look at Vic Fangio, the defensive coordinator, who obviously had great success, you know, on Harbaugh's staff, among other places, had that defense in a really good place last year. And they got him Khalil Mack, and they have, that is the strength of that team. And, you know, when these coaching openings come up, you're going to hear a lot of people looking for the next Sean McVay, who, by the way, doesn't exist. But, you know, the Matt Nagy's of the world, you know, this year's cycle, you'll hear about him. But I hope that Vic Fangio gets some run, because if you're looking for like a Mike Zimmer, Bruce Arians type of guy who has been doing it for a long time, hasn't really been thought of as a head coach for whatever reason, when that guy finally gets his chance, if it happens, I think it could be really, really impressive. And I, you know, if I were looking, I would definitely have Vic Fangio on my list.
If you're an NFL team, are you making the right call to put a defensive mind into the head coaching position right now? It feels like such an offense first, second, and third league. Michael, I wonder if we're going to see a lot of defensive coordinators reach the position of head coach these days.
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody is going to look offense. And one, you know, one way of looking at it is teams are going to say, well, let's say I get a defensive-minded coach. Who's his offensive coordinator going to be? And if his coordinator's that good, then someone else is just going to poach him the next year. And, you know, then I'm going to have the same problem. I might as well just hire the offensive coordinator candidate if he's that good. So I do think they're battling that. But on the other hand, you know, the Minnesota Vikings are not bummed that they hired Mike Zimmer.
True.
And so to me, if I see a Vic Fangio type who I think, you know, a Vic Fangio who I think is that type, I'm definitely going to think long and hard about it. But you're right. There's going to be a lot of inertia the other way.
Final question for you, Mike, and we have saved the best for last because it feels like everything in the NFL this weekend is the appetizer for the main course, which will be served on Monday Night Football. The restaurant has been moved to Los Angeles. We were all supposed to be eating Mexican, but we are now in Los Angeles once again because the city moved from Mexico City to LA over field issues. Having said all that, what do you think of the show that we're supposed to get on Monday night?
Well, I'm hoping to be there. I think I will. And, you know, I just, if you like offense, which you pretty much do, if you watch football on TV, I think you're going to be really pleased. And, you know, Jared Goff is quietly putting together a monster season. I don't know how, if people are paying attention, but, you know, a year ago people would have said, well, Carson Wentz definitely was the better, you know, pick of those two who went 1-2. And I believe me, Carson Wentz is awesome. But I don't know that, you know, I think maybe football people right now, if you had to take one, Goff might win. He's that good. And so you take Mahomes, who is just, you know, an absolute revelation in his first year as a starter. I'm just really excited to see him in person for the first time. I love the idea of him in L.A., and I'm going to try to look past the fact that, according to the very talented Seth Wickersham of ESPN the magazine, Patrick Mahomes put ketchup on his macaroni and cheese, his eggs, and other atrocities. But I'm going to try to look past that, especially because it could be worse. It could be Maine.
Hey, I was about to say, Michael, it could be a lot worse, and we all know what you think is worse. Hey, thank you.
That would be worse.
Thank you so very much for joining us, as always, my friend. Have yourself a good weekend.
All right, have a good one, man, and let's get ready to get the axe back Saturday, December 1st.
There he is, Mike Silver, proud Cal Golden Bear. When we come on back, we are going to tip our cap, and we're going to run one past you that you haven't heard in a long time. Do you want your baby back? That's next. Thanks so much for being with us tonight. Thanks so much for being with us all week long. This was a very interesting week, and it's not over yet. Friday night is still very young, and so is Joe Shasky. The Butcher Boy is coming in next. He is going to go solo dolo on you, and it's going to be a great show. So the Butcher Boy is coming up next year on 95.7 The Game. I hope you plan on sticking around for that indeed. It was great to have Steve Kerr on today. It's an interview I know that Joe is going to be referencing and getting back to over and over again. To me, one of the greatest things that came from this week was the phrase, Steph Curry is the short Tim Duncan. Ask Steve Kerr what he meant by that.
Well, having played with Tim, there's something incredibly special about a player who can be so dominant as a player on the court and so humble off the floor. And the tone that sets is remarkable, and it just sort of solves a lot of issues. And there aren't many guys like that, to be honest, and Steph reminds me so much of Tim in that regard. We had plenty of drama in San Antonio. You didn't hear about it very often because Tim would usually sort of resolve things behind the scenes just with the force of his personality. And I feel like Steph's the same way, you know. And so, you know, it's a huge advantage to have somebody like that leading your team. And Steph's going to help us, you know, get through what we're going through right now.
There's no doubt about that. When we turn to the situation that the Warriors have seen plastered in front of them, plastered everywhere on social media, as people are reveling in their misery, he says, look, it's a lot different now than it used to be a professional athlete in America.
Life was a lot easier as a professional athlete 20 years ago than it is now. We were judged, but it was literally the morning paper, and if you wanted to avoid that, you had talk radio, I guess you could, you know, there was still that, but you didn't have the constant judgment and criticism at your fingertips, and you didn't have the sort of social behavior that we've all grown accustomed to and developed, myself included, where we're always holding a phone, we're always in contact with people, and we're always knowing everything that's happening out there in the world. Such a different life that we live now, and I think for a professional athlete, it's dramatically tougher.
It is such a different life. We are inundated with messages and news and messaging about all things good and bad. And I am so sorry to share with you the news that we're learning here about these Northern California fires. A sheriff, and I heard this number somewhere around 150 yesterday, the sheriff now says that more than 1,000 people have been unaccounted for after this fire, and the list is constantly growing and being updated. So, you know, no complaining about air quality, folks, or the fact that the big game was postponed this weekend. There are lives that have been absolutely shattered by what's happened this past week, and the ramifications that we're dealing with are just minor and meager compared to what so many people are dealing with. So our thoughts are with so many people, and our support and love to so many first responders and people who are helping there. Well, that's the end of our show today. Thank you so much for tuning in. I want to leave you with something that hopefully will put a smile on your face. And here's something that I didn't think we were going to be playing, but I have to. Elena, spare with me, even if I go a little long tonight. We have audio of the clean recording of the old Chili's Baby Back Ribs commercial. And I have to play it for you because we all love this song deeply.
I want my baby back, baby back, baby back, baby back, baby back, baby back. I want my baby back.
Chili's Baby Back Ribs.
I want my baby back.
Chili's Baby Back Ribs.
Barbecue sauce. I want my baby back, baby back, baby back, baby back, baby back.
No music, just the audio.
I want my
just the
Chili's Baby Back Ribs.
I want my baby.
Chili's Baby Back Ribs. I want my baby back ribs.
All right. I think everyone smiled just a little during that. That was fantastic. Hey, thanks so much to Mike Silver, to Steve Kerr, to Rob Perez, Worldwide Wob joining us today. Joe Fortenbaugh, who came in for a Fortenbaugh Friday, was just awesome. Stay tuned. Joe Shasky's coming up next, getting you ready for your weekend. And by the way, we'll be back on Monday to get you ready for the game of the year. We're going to be taking Chiefs and Rams from Los Angeles on Monday night, so we'll all be able to enjoy that together. Meanwhile, Albie, Elena, and of course, always, Gianna, a tip of the cap. Thank you so much for tuning in. And remember, sports don't build character, they reveal it.
And like that, he's gone.
Barbecue sauce.